guys, welcome back to another edition of the Amber Mae Show. I am so glad my friends are here joining me today because I have Scotty Sachs. Now, he's a Hollywood insider, media news insider. He works all within news and Hollywood, and we're going to break down some of the Luciferian things that happen behind the scenes that you're not going to know about. And you might be surprised with how long the media has been indoctrinating you, and I will talk about that on the show because knowledge is power, and the more we know, the better we are able to fight back and free ourselves from the great reset, right? So that's what's going on today's show. So I hope you like, share, and subscribe. Now, if you believe in what I'm doing, and I would really appreciate you becoming an angel investor, and the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, click the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com and becoming a $5 monthly subscriber. Always check out the links below in the description or go to the website, theambermayshow.com. I have a lot of content on there for you. And if you want to add more content, join me on Telegram at The Amber Mae Show on Telegram. I'm on True Social, Amber Mae, Frank Social, Amber Mae, and Clout Hub. So join me there. Well, coming up right now is Scotty Sachs. So excited. I told you I'm having Scotty Sachs on. So welcome, Scotty, to the program. So happy to have you on the show.
Amber, it's really a privilege to be here with you, and I look forward to our time together. We'll shed some light on some things, I'm sure.
You have led quite the life. Oh my gosh, you are everything that we need to know about mainstream media, professional sports, Hollywood, and the satanic realm. I'm excited to dive into this because you have the expertise. I want to shed some light on this. You know, most of middle America doesn't know that these things happen behind closed doors. And we're going to shed some light on what really happens. I want to start with Hollywood, though, because we just wrapped up a series with a man who was high up in the satanic church. And we just left the Hollywood scene with him, or, you know, we started getting into that with him and some of the things that happened in Hollywood. So tell us about your experience of what you saw when you were in Hollywood.
Love to, Amber. Let me put some context to this so your listeners get a little sense of my background. At 17, I was sitting on Wilshire Boulevard in Art Linkletter's office. Art Linkletter was a famous TV producer of his time. Your parents would know him. If you don't know the name, if your listeners don't know the name, ask your parents about Art Linkletter. They will know the name. And Arthur Godfrey, another legend of the time, both TV and radio. My father was a television producer, and I went on after college to represent major brands to the media for advertising and sponsorship deals. So over the 40 years I've been in media, I've negotiated advertising and sponsorship deals with all of the networks, TV and radio, all of the professional sports franchises and outlets, and done my share of producing and syndicating television and radio, and have been around Hollywood and the music industry for the last 5 years. I've spent very little time with them, to be honest, for obvious reasons. But so at 17, I'm sitting in this man's office, Arthur Godfrey. For reference, you can search the program Kids Say the Darndest Things. That was an Art
Linkletter. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, that was an Art Linkletter production, and he hosted the show. So I'm sitting in their office, and they were having a visitor that day. Sammy Davis Jr. was coming to the office. So I sat and watched their interaction with Sammy Davis Jr. And it was very cordial, very professional, hugs and, you know, a lot of niceties and a lot of very, very, it was actually very warm vibes I felt in the moment at 17. And it's hard to read a room when you're 17 with complete strangers that are legends of, in broadcasting. But the minute Sammy Davis Jr. left, they showed their true colors. They started to drop the N-word. Sammy Davis was African-American. And he converted to Judaism. So can I use the words on the show, or do you prefer me not to?
No, go for it.
Okay. I just, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. So the words nigger and kike started to fly around their mouths as soon as Sammy left. Oh, that little nigger, he thinks he's something else, doesn't he? Oh, he's just a little nigger kike. I mean, the references, the expletives, F-bombs, they couldn't say enough bad things about Sammy the minute he walked out of the room.
Wow.
And while he was there, I felt like, wow, this is really a happy family, you know?
Yeah.
So I got a taste very early on of their true colors. They are, in fact, indeed governed by the laws of Satan. Whether they are practicing satanic cult behavior or worshiping Satan actively or not, if you're in Hollywood, you are subject to the laws of the Luciferian cult. Mm-hmm. You have to live within their system. It's their system. So these people become very hard, very fast. You can take the nicest person, a Julia Roberts, for example, put her in that environment, and what do you think is going to happen to a nice, sweet girl from the South if you put her in a Hollywood environment for years? It's inevitable what's going to happen to an individual. If you don't comply, if you don't submit to their whims, their satanic whims, you simply can't stay in the industry. You'll be, if you come out against them, if you speak out against them, you know that they'll, you know what they'll do. They'll blackball you, a blacklist you, you will never work again. So that was at 17, my first experience in Hollywood. But going on my career, starting at 21, very quickly had success. And when I walked in the door to TV or radio network or the NFL or the NBA, I had a lot of money to spend. I was welcomed everywhere. They rolled out the red carpet for me. So whoever I was doing business with, ABC, CBS, CNN, the NFL, Country Music Awards, they were welcoming me because I had a wallet full of money to spend on advertising and sponsorship. So I was their guy. I got pats on the back and slaps on the back and hugs, and I was always welcome. And I always just listened in their presence. I didn't speak much outside of the business. In the later years, I spoke up a lot, and I stopped getting invited to places when I started, started speaking my mind and stopped getting invited to their parties anyway. They always welcome me in business. Advertising and sponsorship is the lifeblood of TV and radio, as you know it. You work in radio. You know they live off of advertising revenue. The monies they are paid, and we can't quantify it, from the CIA, from DARPA, from the dark forces of government and military, they do get money from DARPA, the CIA, and the dark forces to spread the narrative. And I'll come back to that word narrative in a minute. But so they always welcomed me, and I was always with an open door. And in my travels, I want to share a couple of anecdotes that really shed light on the entire industry. They put it all in character. So when I was just barely 30, I think I was 29 or 30. I can't actually place the date, and my notes are in storage somewhere. So it was the late 80s or early 90s, 89, 90, around there. I was working with Johnny Cash. You remember Johnny Cash, of course.
I love Johnny Cash.
I was syndicating a radio show called Johnny Cash American Folklore. It was a beautiful show. It was Johnny just strumming his guitar and talking about America. He took all of his life's work and he put it into this series called Johnny Cash American Folklore. And he just was storytelling to strumming his guitar. And we cut it into 2-minute vignettes and we syndicated it to hundreds of radio stations. But one night backstage, very early on in the relationship, I was sitting with June Carter Cash, Johnny's wife. Johnny was out doing a sound check. We were just sitting around the green room. And June said to me, you know, Scotty, I'm glad to meet you. It was the first time I met her. I've been wanting to meet you to thank you for the work you're doing for Johnny. I know you're doing great work, and Johnny's really happy, and he really appreciates it. I said, no, thank you. I must have been 29, because I remember saying to her, I'm barely 30, and I'm making good money, and I'm working with a great guy like Johnny, and I'm getting great exposure in the industry, so thank you. She said, no, you don't understand. Johnny won't do business with these people anymore, so we really need people like you to interface with the media. I said, why won't Johnny do business with them anymore? Her answer is the biggest clue to the entire machine called mainstream media, Hollywood, and you already know it. Her answer was, Johnny doesn't like to do business with the media anymore because they're a Luciferian cult. They worship.
She said that to you.
They worship Satan.
Wow.
She started to get into their satanic rituals.
Okay, so I want to know what these are.
With children. Now, she didn't go into detail. She said, she choked up. She said, I can't talk about this. But you need to know the people you're working with, they are involved in satanic rituals. And they take children into these rituals. And then she choked up. She said she couldn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Well, we know now today what they do with the children. We know all about adrenochrome and all the horrible things. We've heard about the stuff on Anthony Weiner's laptop. We know that five detectives from New York City viewed Anthony Weiner's laptop. Three of them are dead. All five of them reported getting sick to their stomach. These are hardcore detectives that have seen it all. Mm-hmm. They've seen everything in their line of work, and they couldn't watch the footage on Anthony Weiner's laptop. It was Hillary and the term frazzle drip. We've all heard that term, frazzle drip. We won't get into what Hillary was doing on that video, but we all have an imagination. They were performing, her and Uma Abedin were performing a satanic ritual on Anthony Weiner's laptop. The videos existed, and the New York detectives all saw what was going on, and all reported. These are all secondhand accounts. I've never talked to any of the five detectives. I want to make that very clear. I've heard this all secondhand from people in the New York Police Department.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've also heard that too about the detectives dying. Who were involved in the investigation. I've heard that too.
Yeah, three of the five are dead today, as far as I know. So, you know, when June Carter Cash told me that, Amber May, it really didn't register. I have to be honest. I'm 29 years old. I'm making a boat full of money working with people like Johnny Cash. I'm living the life. I really did enjoy my work back then. To some extent, I still enjoy it now, but I don't get paid by the media. I want to make that very clear. I sleep at night because my clients pay me. My client, the people that I work for, the brands that I work for, they pay me my fees. The media, I take not a dime. I've 40 years, I've never taken one dime from any TV or radio network, any professional sports league. They don't pay me my fees. My clients do. So on one hand, I don't enjoy my work in that. I know I'm feeding the beast. Mm-hmm. I know I walk in the door of a CNN and bring them $1 million advertising deal. I'm supporting CNN in a way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have a family. And by the time by the time I was awake, I was 45, 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
I'm 63 now. I've only been awake about 15 years.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey, America, Dr. Stella Emmanuel here. I'm doing this video because I get a lot of inbox messages, Facebook, on Twitter, and even on Gap and everything. Just people asking me what to do about COVID long symptoms and also those that are vax injured. So we made a few products. One of them is CoviLite. CoviLite is an electrolyte. It has all the vitamins and minerals that you need. On top of that, it has things like elderberry, it has pomegranate, it has resveratrol, it has a CoQ10, black cumin. It has a lot of antioxidants and minerals and that can help you to detox. And also have COVID cleanse that was actually created for that. It has milk tea. So these things will help you detox and also help you to deal with the inflammation that comes with this. For those that are having COVID long symptoms, we recommend this. Do the 4-day detox and take COVID light. We've seen a tremendous, you know, success with that. For those that are having a vax injury, we include all three of these COVID lights, and then we also tell them do a telemedicine appointment, get some ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, and take it before you start the products. We've seen a lot of success with all this. So go on our website, drstellamd.com, use the promo code right here. You don't need to deal with COVID long symptoms. We can help you with vax injury to be able to help deal with the spike protein disease that is going on. Anyway, God bless you, and go on our website, drstellamd.com. Like I say, use this promo code right here on the screen and you'll get a discount. Thank you.
I'm Clay Clark. I'm a very pale male, and you're listening to the Amber May Show. Hey!
Are you getting tired of oat companies trying to destroy our country and strip off us all of our freedoms? Big Mobile is no exception. In fact, we should be calling them Woke Mobile. Did you know that Big Mobile gives tens of millions of dollars each year to organizations that are trying to take away the very freedoms that you and I are working so hard to defend? It's time to do something about it. So here's the good news. Do you have a choice in the matter, and is there an alternative? Well, Patriot Mobile is the America's only Christian conservative wireless provider who shares your values. They offer the very best in nationwide coverage on 4G and 5G LTE networks and an exceptional 100% base customer support. So Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar they earn to conservative organizations that fight for our freedoms. They support organizations like First Liberty, Turning Point USA, Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and many more. And this year, they're going to give more than $1.5 million to conservative causes. And with your help, they aim to double that next year. So the time is now. Our votes are no longer enough. We must stand together and support other like-minded companies and share our beliefs and values. Your cell phone is one way we can stand together against the fight of the left and help make America great again. So Patriot Mobile offers discounts for veterans and first responders, NRA members, and families with multiple lines. So if you want to learn more, go to patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber and use promo code Amber at checkout. You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So I didn't really come to my senses till I was in the business 25, 30 years. And at that point, what am I going to, at 50 years old, find another career? You know, start over? It didn't make sense to me, as much as I abhor the people I work with. So the other story I want to share, because it's the part two to this. Start with the premise that we're dealing with a satanic cult. And overarching everything they do is their Luciferian principles. Now add the following. In the early 90s, I was invited to an ABC television. They have these fall preview parties where they show the advertising community the new programs in September. You know how they release their new shows in September? So I was late to this party. I walked in. There was one table left. There was about 100 tables in the room, probably about 20 people per table. So a couple hundred people in the room. I mean, a couple thousand people in the room. And I had one table and one guy sitting at a table alone. So I sat down with him and I went to get my food. I didn't pay attention to this man at all. I sat down, started to eat, and looked up, and I was sitting alone at a table with Peter Jennings. Peter Jennings was the ABC news anchor. For 10 years, he had the number one news.
World Report with Peter Jennings.
ABC World Report with Peter Jennings.
I remember being a kid watching Peter Jennings with my parents at the Berlin Wall fell down. Like,
exactly.
Peter Jennings was the guy everyone watched.
Everybody watched Peter. So I thought to myself, well, this is the one chance in a lifetime to ask him about my grandfather. My grandfather hated Peter Jennings. Used to throw stuff at the TV at him. He even flicked a lit cigar butt at Peter Jennings. My grandfather claimed that Peter Jennings was an anti-Semite Jew hater, and my grandfather escaped from the Holocaust. So he's very sensitive. He had like a radar, you know? Little radar went up when he thought people were anti-Semitic and didn't like Jews. So he told me Peter Jennings doesn't like Jews. He doesn't like us, he'd say to me, and he'd throw shit at the TV.
Wow.
So I asked him, Peter, I've got to ask you, please don't be offended. My grandfather did not like you. He spoke very poorly of you. He used to throw things at the TV at you. He flicked a lit cigar butt at you. By the way, it hit you right in the head, Peter, so good on you. He laughed. He kind of chuckled. His answers were astounding. He gave me a twofold answer. Part one, Scotty, your grandfather is a perceptive man. I said, what? He said, but I'm not a Jew hater and I'm not anti-Semitic. But the fact is, when I was a rookie reporter, I did not get hotel rooms. I got host families. I was hosted by a Palestinian Arabic family for a year and a half. I broke bread with them every night. I lived with them. I'd go out all day and do my reporting. I'd come home at night and spend the time with the Arabic family. I suffered a human emotion called sympathizing. I became to sympathize with the Palestinian Arabic cause. Hmm. He said, I challenge anybody to live with a family for a year and a half and not identify with that family. Right. So yeah. It made sense to me. It really did. I said, oh, so that explains it. He said, your grandfather was a very perceptive man. He picked up on my bias toward the Arabs. He said, I give your grandfather kudos. So I'm sorry he had to escape the Holocaust, but he was a very perceptive man. He was right. I did, in fact, have a favoritism toward the Palestinian Arab side of the Israeli Arab
conflict. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here comes the punchline. He said, Scotty, but it does not matter what I think. I said, you're Peter Jennings. You're the most watched newscaster in the world. What do you mean it doesn't matter what you think? He said, it doesn't matter because everything you hear on TV is a media construct and a narrative. It's all a narrative. I said, a narrative from who? Who creates the narrative? And he smiled and he said, we can't talk about that, but they're agencies. He just said the word agencies. Now, we now know about Operation Mockingbird and the CIA infiltrating and subverting mainstream media with their planted, you know, their CIA-trained people. Look at today. You don't think Anderson Cooper and that guy on MSNBC with his wife, Morning Joe.
Morning Joe. I was just going to say Morning Joe. Morning
Joe and Anderson Cooper are both products of the CIA. They both were trained by the CIA, okay? So they're still...
What about that one woman, that angry woman? I can't remember what her name was. Short brown hair. I think she's one of them too.
And oh, many of them have been through CIA, MK Ultra training. Mm-hmm. They're triggered very easily.
Mm-hmm.
They're trained to be who they are. And it's the reality we've lived with. So coming from Peter Jennings' mouth, by the way, I waited till he had three or four drinks in him to ask him the question.
Good idea.
I thought to myself, I'm going to let him get liquored up a little bit before I start talking to him.
You're more relaxed, more likely to tell the truth. Yeah.
He started how much more truth could he tell me? But the whole thing he said, everything you see on TV is a construct. It's all a construct of the media and it's all a narrative. And I just read scripts. So coming... confirmation of what we knew about the CIA and Mockingbird media, but to hear it from Peter Jennings, because you know, we all loved Peter Jennings growing up. I don't know anyone that didn't like that man.
Right.
Likeable man. He was a Canadian, by the way, born in Canada. He adopted the United States. He became a citizen. He was a patriotic, adopted America as his home. And he was a patriotic guy. And he was stuck in a bad system. And he so much told me that, look, this is my job. I'm trained to do this. I'm going to keep doing it. It's all I know how to do is broadcasting. I can't see myself doing anything else. So I'm stuck in a system and I play the game. And that was Peter Jennings. May he rest.
I think deep down, because I went into journalism school, you know, I wanted to report the truth to people. I think we go into the field wanting to do good. Not really knowing someone's really controlling everything. And, you know, COVID and the last few years of the election fraud, when the reporters really wanted to push back and start asking the tough questions. For all of this, us younger generation, this is kind of when it's finally like hitting us in the forehead, like, wow, this is really controlled. I'm just very fortunate that the station I worked at was a very good station run by really good, godly people. So I was very lucky that my talk radio stations that I worked for were good. But that's not the case for most media out there. It's mostly controlled by, you have your Clear Channel, then you have your CBS, you have all the mainstream news channels owns a lot of the radio.
Six companies,
and then you have NPR, which we thought, oh, that's great. No, they're controlled too. So this is amazing information. That this is like 80s, like 80s, 90s.
Yes, this is what
80s, 90s.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people think that this has just started in the recent months that we haven't had news and it's been propaganda. No, it's been around for a while. I would even suffice to say, who's the guy who my school is named after? The guy with the white hair. He was very famous. Oh, reporter, anchor. And my university, yes, that's my university was named the journalism school after him. He was in on it.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Walter Cronkite, because you know he ended every broadcast with the following. And that's the way it is. This 14th day of June, 2023, he said, and that's the way it is. And you know what? We all believed Uncle Walter Cronkite, that that's the way it is. If they said it on network news, we believe that's the way it is. Of course, mm-hmm. We know better today. You know, I started getting clues as a kid, and I can put all my collective, these anecdotes I'm going to share today together, and it really does tell the whole story. When I was about 11 years old, I was sitting in a room with my uncle and my father. My uncle was a judge, a big-time judge in the city of Chicago. And my father asked him, Uncle, hi, I'm just kind of curious, how do you afford your lifestyle? He was buying boats and fancy cars and going on exotic vacations on what was back then about, we believed, a $75,000 a year salary.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle High, his answer was, Ed, my father's name, Ed, there's a lot of ways to make money when you're a judge. And he winked at my dad.
And look what's happening in our judicial system. He simply
said there's a lot of ways to make money. So my dad, at that point, he asked me to leave the room. He said, I want to talk to your Uncle High alone. And so later that day, I asked him, Dad, what did you talk about? He said, it's not really all that important. Suffice to say, it's a very disturbing thing to know that our judicial system can be bought. So my uncle, the judge in the city of Chicago, where they vote early and they vote often, by the way, Chicago's is infamous for voting early and voting often.
Right.
And it's all Democrat. It's city of Chicago is as blue as a city can get.
Right.
They're all part of the daily machine. The dailies ran the city of Chicago for 50 years. All you had were dailies, the Daley family. They were connected to the Bushes and the Clintons, and they were part of the machine, the cult. There's no doubt in my mind the office of mayor of the city of Chicago was practicing the Luciferian cult stuff back in the day. But anyway, so that says a lot about, fast forward to today, we know our judicial system is corrupted. We know they're bought off. But it was going on back then. I was 11 years old, so it was 1970. In 1970, they were bought and paid for, the judges.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code AMBER, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had to cut it. I had her cut the piece just like the sliver. And I got to have 3 pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich, really yummy. I had the chocolate, and it was very, very good. And I really appreciate you that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout.
Hey, everybody, this is Cash Patel, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Hey, so when you are a guest at the Amber May's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, this sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows. And you get the MyPillow mattress topper. And then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Anna Mae Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury. So the adults get to use the MyPillow and they're phenomenal. And right now there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towels. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Amber May does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, the MyPillow slippers. I live luxury and I don't have to pay the luxury price because MyPillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off, and you can live luxurious as well.
Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So there's nothing new. Nothing that's happening today is a new occurrence. It's been going on for years. So I traveled with James Brown. This story is analogous to what's going on today with the kids. You know what they're doing, human trafficking, pedophilia. It's a rampant problem. Probably a larger industry than drug trade and gun trade. Mm-hmm. They're selling the kids into human slavery. We know that.
Yeah, you can only sell drugs once. You can sell a person multiple times.
That's right. That's a border agent told me that. A border agent told me that. Victor Avila was on my show. He told me.
Oh, I love Victor. I've met him.
Great guy, isn't he? He's a great
so
guy.
So great.
He's such an American patriot. But yeah, Victor told me, look, the cartel people will tell you they can sell an ounce of cocaine once and a little girl 5, 6 times, 10 times a day. So in any event, I was traveling with James Brown. I was syndicating a TV show called James Brown Living in America. Remember his big hit, Living in America. Mm-hmm. And James Brown had been to jail for, we don't know exactly what, battery or domestic abuse or some shit like that. I don't really know, but he had come out and the media was painting this picture of James Brown, the reformed man. He's found God. He's found Christianity. He's reformed himself. He's on the path to being good and whole. And he's taking care of a lot of people with his money and his family and his friends. And he's just doing good in the world. I watched James Brown fondle and play with his backup singers behind the stage. And I want to tell you, there were two backup singers that stood in the very back of the stage. There were two or three women up front and two or three women in the back always. He always had 4 to 6 backup singers, always women. The ones in the back of the stage, made up with hair and makeup, easily looked in their 20s. These girls were 14 and 15 years old.
Whoa.
They told me so. They were smoking cigarettes backstage one day outside. And I said, hey, how you doing? I struck up a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And I said, you mind me asking, how old are you guys? Because without makeup, they look like teenage girls without makeup.
It's crazy what makeup can do to a girl.
When I asked them their age, they looked at each other. And one of them mumbled something like, well, we can't talk about it. But one of them spit it out. She's 14 and I'm 15. So they're traveling with James Brown at that age. Where the parents are, I have no idea. But James Brown, I'm going to be very graphic. These girls backstage would walk up to James to say something, and he'd grab their ass. He'd pinch their nipples. And I never firsthand saw him have sex with these girls, but I know when they went into their closed dressing rooms, what was going on in those dressing rooms. So this man, James Brown, being painted as godlike and a wonderful man and on the road to recovery, was traveling around the United States, putting on his Living in America tour, having sex with 14 and 15-year-old girls. I could guarantee they were having sex. They would go in those dressing rooms for 30 minutes to an hour and not come out. What were they doing? James and two young girls in a dressing room? What would they be doing in there? Practicing or singing? Come on.
Having a Bible study? Highly
doubtful. Bible study, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. So frame that up to today. What do we know about these people? They have a penchant for pedophilia. They are pedophiles. There's multiple Congress people in D.C. today pushing to lower the age of consent to 14.
UN, too, is saying that it doesn't matter what age the country deems as you, as an adult. We don't care if a kid wants to have sex with an adult. This is the UN.
UN. This is their God, right? They bow to the UN, these people. The UN is just another government organization that feeds us a lot of crap and a lot of BS. And, you know, if they have their way, they'll be able to put UN soldiers on American soil.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. They're waiting for the right moment.
Exactly. I say they'll never have their way because there's a little thing called 155 million gun owners in America.
That's the only.
And I don't know any of us that'll put up with UN soldiers walking the streets of America.
Right. This is the only thing saving America right now is the fact that they have an idea because, you know, you have to register your gun if you're going to buy it at a store, you know, so they have a rough idea, but there's also private sales and they don't know how many private sales go on. There's so many Americans that have firearms at home, and I think it's the only thing really, truly keeping some of this back. That's why they attack it so hard. Because once the guns go, then you could be like Canada and you have no way of defending yourself. You could be like Australia and they just take you and you have no way of defending yourself.
My friends in Australia often remind me. I have friends, good friends in Australia. We talk every week. They often remind me, you guys never give up your guns. We did it. We made the mistake of doing it. We submitted to our government. We gave up our guns. They went door to door to collect them. We gave them up. We gave them up, most of us willingly.
Yes.
Thinking we're doing what's good for our country. And now we know we were bamboozled. We'd been had. We wish we had our guns today. So
it wouldn't surprise me if we find out someday that the Luciferians make some kind of they MK Ultra someone, or they find someone so weak and so hurt and they send those people out to schools to shoot up kids innocent, because they sacrifice kids all the time in the Luciferian world. And to them, the ends always justify the means. They don't care how many innocent kids die as long as they can get the guns. Because if you can get the guns and you can take over a country. It's my theory. I can't prove it, but it makes a lot of sense to me. And so right now, that's where I go with in my mind. I'm sure it's all played somewhere. They picked the right person, or they MK Ultra'd the right person who is really in a bad place or really hurting. They go shoot up the kids. And what is the first thing any elected official says? We need more gun control. They never say, my heart goes out to those parents. I can't imagine what it's like to now lose your kid. And let's lift up our parents in prayer. Let's add more police presence in the schools. No, the first thing they say after a massive shooting is, we need more gun control.
That's because they're always promoting their Hegelian dialect, which is problem, reaction, solution. They create a problem. They elicit a knee-jerk reaction from we the people. And then they give us the solution to their own problem they created, right?
That's so right.
This is what they're doing always, whether it's guns or whatnot. I want to share one more anecdote, and I think then we'll recap what I've actually come across, or what I'm covering today kind of sets the tone for where we're at today, because nothing has changed from when I experienced all these things. So I produced a TV commercial that was aired. I'm not going to mention the advertiser's name. I want to protect the advertiser, but it was for a major subway chain. Okay, I said it. A major subway chain in the United States. So the commercial, my job was to produce a TV commercial for this chain of fast food chain, and to put that commercial out during basketball season, get it out to the NBA and anything related to high school, college, and professional basketball. They wanted to go after the basketball crowd. They felt that was their market. So I did a commercial with the Chicago Bulls. I was in Chicago. That was my home team. It was the easiest to access. So I involved the Chicago Bulls in the commercial. And we hired Scottie Pippen, who was one of the six-time Chicago Bull champion players. Scottie mm-hmm. Pippen and Michael Jordan were the two most prominent.
Yes, they were. I remember that team very well.
And by the way, Michael Jordan was on the set the whole time, and he becomes a part of the story in a minute. So Scottie was struggling to get his lines out. He was distracted. It was right before practice. I think his head was more into practice. But the main thing distracting Scottie Pippen, he had his wife, his ex-wife, and his girlfriend there. They came to see the TV shoot. It was Scottie's first commercial, by the way.
Whoa.
It was his first time doing a commercial. He was terrible. He couldn't say one. He had one line to spit out, and he couldn't say it. But he was very distracted by these three women. And I'm wondering, oh, that's interesting. The guy's with his wife, his ex-wife, and his girlfriend. And he said it openly. That's my wife. He introduced me to him. This is my wife. I don't remember their names. My ex-wife and my girlfriend. So while we're in between takes, I asked Scottie, "What? How do you do this? How do you pull this off? I want to learn what you know. How do you do this?" Right? You know, stupid male chauvinist pig that I am. I want to learn what Scottie knows. No, we were joking about it the whole time. Michael comes over because Scottie's struggling with his lines. And Michael says, let me do this. I said, well, I can't pay you, Michael. And if you ask Scottie what I paid him, you won't do this commercial. He had just finished a Chevy Blazer commercial and was paid $2.5 million.
Wow.
Scottie Pippen was being paid $2,500. That's it. $2,500.
Nothing for a major professional, sports professional. I mean, Scottie, you were right. It was Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, one and two. I mean, he was the second most popular player on the Bulls. I remember because I was here in Phoenix. Remember that game with Phoenix versus the Bulls? It was like the last game and lost to the Chicago Bulls. And you had your Charles Barkley and your Kevin Johnson. Yeah.
That was a great, great series.
Yes, it was.
Scottie was telling me that all he would say is he's having fun, that there are threesomes, and that it's all good, you know, nothing to see here. By the way, once again, the media painted light of this. The media actually made light of, because there were reporters there. This was a big deal for Scottie Pippen, his first TV commercial. That's how I got him so cheap. I said, nobody's going to give a black kid from Southern Mississippi who can't speak English a very good shot at doing TV commercials. So take your best shot and forget about the money you're being paid. Just get into the business. Because Scottie wanted to make the kind of money Michael was making.
Sure.
They were very competitive. Scottie knew exactly what Michael was making, and he wanted to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. He said it. So he's having fun. He's joking about a wife, an ex-wife, and a girlfriend having a threesome. And there are kids, two kids on the set. And I'm thinking to myself, what message does this send to the world? If the media is making light of this, Like, this is okay. They're normalizing it. Mm-hmm. And you and I know it's not normal. People don't live. People really don't generally live with threesomes with their wife, ex-wife, and girlfriend, right? This is not, mm-hmm. not right. We know in terms of our Judeo-Christian principles mm-hmm. that we were raised on, this is something's wrong with this picture. Yet the media painted this picture that it's okay. Well, this is their destruction of the family.
That's
As
right.
we know, they're trying to tear apart the families. They've been trying to tear our families apart. And this is all part of that narrative. So all these stories I'm sharing today, you have a compromised judicial system. You have a Luciferian satanic cult running the show with everything. You have them tearing apart the family, condoning pedophilia with James Brown, condoning it. You know, not bringing it to light in the light that it belongs, not attacking James Brown for his actions. And the media knew these girls. The media had to know these girls were teenage girls. If you stood next to them without their makeup, you could tell they were teenage girls. So all of
and
these.
He didn't go after the older women. He went after the young teenage girls.
Yes. The other women were in their 30s, by the way, because I heard them talking and asked them. I remember the conversation, something to the effect. One of them said, when we get to be our age, you need more makeup. And I said, your age, you're young. You're a lot younger than me. They said, no, we're in our late 30s. And I was in my early 40s at the time. So they look great, by the way, but they were the ones front in the front of the stage. These teenage girls were kept way in the back. You could still hear them sing because they had microphones, you know, but you couldn't see them up close. And I'm sure nobody in the audience ever thought that they were 14, 15-year-old girls. And certainly nobody in the audience knew James Brown was spending time in a dressing room with these two girls at his will. They were at his beck and call.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products, and that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. You're getting real, this smells so good. You're getting healthy products because did you know in the personal care products, they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran. And what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to herosoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're going to save yourself some money. So we're supporting a Patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So here is soapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.